So glad you came to church today. We're in a series called Core, and my goal is to inspire you to become part of the core team of volunteers and leaders and missionaries, and to move all the way to that core group of people that help build the church through your gifts and talents. And so we're in this series to help inspire that. Before I jump into that, I just want to say good morning to all our guest friends that are here. We're blessed that you came to be a part of church today. Let me pray as we get started. Father, thanks for this day. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity we had to worship today. Lord, worship is the way we just exalt you and we lift you up, and we recognize that we need you in every aspect of our life, and we're so grateful, and we just return that thanks back. Father, at this moment where we lean into this message, I ask that it'd be a way of worship as well, that we just lean into your word. We're hungry for your word. And so use this message today to grow us and make us to be more like Christ today. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. So in this series, I have gone through our vision and our purpose statements over and over and over, and some of you may be like, oh, Pastor Tim, do I have to hear that again? And the answer is yes, you do. And so if this is your third time of hearing it, just fake it, act like you're having a blast, because there are people that haven't heard it. Here's what the Bible says, though, about vision, and what I think is important for us is out of Habakkuk 2:2, it says, the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. In other words, take the revelation that God has given to you for your people. And he said, then write it down and make it plain. Why? So that he or us as a church, when we understand it, so when we may run who reads it, so that we get it in our hearts, so that we can be unified around it, so that we can live it and walk it, and it becomes a part of who we are. And so I am just here to repeat, to make it plain, so you'll write it down on your little tablet and so that you'll know how to run with it. Amen to that? Awesome, awesome. So our vision statement, Life Community Church, help me say this, helping you find life in Jesus. Let's try it again. Helping you find life in Jesus. That's what we're doing. We're trying to help every person we can find life in Jesus. I want to help your family find life in Jesus. I want to help our city, our neighborhoods, your school, your workplace. We want people to find life in Jesus. The Bible says in 1 John 5:12, it says, whoever has the Son has life. Let me say this in a little maybe understandable way. Whoever believes in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior has eternal life. Now, the second part of this verse is probably what bothers me. Are there any verses in the Bible that bother you? This one bothers me. But it's truth, and we need to hear it. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. Whoever does not believe in Jesus Christ, their Savior, does not have eternal life. That's what makes my heart beat a little bit. That's what kind of pounds in my chest at times when I think about a city who does not know Jesus yet. And it's kind of like if you're a mom or dad, maybe you've experienced this. Maybe you've been shopping in a crowded spot and you maybe for a moment got distracted from your child, and suddenly your child, you couldn't see them for a moment, and that pounding that hits your chest and you're like, nothing matters right now. Not even shopping matters than finding my lost child. There's a pound that hits you. I wonder if God's heart pounds for people who are lost and not found yet. And he's calling to churches. He's calling to Life CC. Would you help people find life in Jesus? Amen? That's a good place to clap. Yeah, so I agree. With our vision, we have five spiritual purposes that are important for us to build our life on. You need a foundation, a spiritual foundation to build everything else in your life on. You need a spiritual foundation to build your marriage on. You need a spiritual foundation to build peace. You need a spiritual foundation in everything to build on. And so we have five purposes that we are designing our church to help you fulfill these five purposes to build your spiritual life on. It becomes a foundation. It becomes the rock that you build your life on. Because there will be times in your life when you encounter difficulties and you're going to need something solid to land on. And these are the five spiritual purposes that we are helping you live, me live. And so our five purposes are this, is evangelism. And this is how we help you begin a relationship with Jesus. And every person needs that foundation to begin. That's the first step, the first place to begin. Finding a foundation is through Jesus Christ. And so we want to, through evangelism, help people find life through Jesus. The second step is worship. Worship is how we make Jesus the center of our life. Last week we talked about worship and how throughout our service, all the aspects of what we do in our service help you to focus on Jesus and to make him the center of your life and how we worship him and how Sunday is important for us to gather to worship him. The third foundation that we need is grow. I'm going to talk about that in my sermon today, about how we can grow our faith and how we can become stronger in our walk with God and how we can become a better person through that. The fourth foundation, the fourth purpose that we build our life on is community. Now, community is the relationships that we build in the church with one another, with other believers. Community is important and it becomes spiritual when you bring together people who are uniting with the name of Jesus Christ to help one another. I liked your story. I mean, I didn't, and I did like your story, but what I liked about your story, Michelle, was that when you had a need, you had a community. You didn't have to walk this out alone. We shouldn't walk life out alone. We need each other. We need a body. I even think it's important that we have a place that we belong. We need people. We need a place we go, these are my people. And so when I'm in trouble, I know who to call. These are my people. When there are people that in my life that I see good things happen in life, but we need somebody to celebrate with us. Man, have you ever accomplished something and no one saw it and you didn't have anybody to celebrate with you? And you're like, who do I call? Who do I tell this went great to? Well, you can't, you know, you don't want to post it on Facebook. Hey, I did this great thing today. But we all need somebody that will celebrate with us. And we all need somebody that when we call and say, guess what happened in my life? It worked great. We need somebody that will celebrate with us. That's where community comes from. Amen? Purpose is the fifth place, the fifth foundation. And this is how we help you and me and all of us discover why God put us on earth. Why are we here? Why are we still here? And we want to discover that. I think that when you find your purpose and what God's called you to, because you have a calling just like I have, we all have a calling. When you find your calling, then everything in life has meaning. And so we'll talk about that in the coming weeks. So those are our five purposes. Now, what I want to do as a leadership team is create a way for us to know whether or not we're being successful in our vision. I don't want to just, you know, throw it out there and it just be, you know, like, you know, just talk and nothing ever happens. Like, I want to put teeth to this thing. So we came up with a process to understand our progress. And so we did it as a bullseye. So this is the bullseye, and this is our series titled Core. And what we want to do is to help move people from the city, those who are unchurched, those who are lost, all the way into the core of our church. Let me just quickly explain that to you. In the city, there's over 200,000 people that live around Wilmington and around our church. Many of them are not in church. Probably the majority of them are not in church. They're unchurched. They don't know Jesus yet. We have a calling to help them find life through Jesus. And through evangelism in our city, we want to move them to the next ring congregation. And this is where we come together to worship. So in the congregation, we come here and we sing and we pray for each other and we're a congregation. If we're doing evangelism well, if we're inspired through our outreach and through you inviting people and through our bridge events, then our church, our congregation should be growing if we're doing evangelism well. Congregation. How do we know, though, if we're successful at bringing people to the congregation? We have a Next Step class, Class 1, New to Life CC. And when you go to that class, we're going to know you're part of this congregation. And so you'll take the class. It's going to be this September. You can sign up for it online. But when you take that class, then we're going to know, this is how we know, hey, these people moved from the city to the congregation. And so we encourage all of you to take the class. If you've taken classes before, you're going to love it. Do it again. Have fun with us. We move everybody in our church, in our database, to the city because we don't know where people are in the process. And so all of your city and we take the classes, you'll move your way in. But if we do a great job at the congregation, we inspire you. We hope we inspire you to be committed to spiritual growth. And so we want to help you grow. That's the next ring in. I think it's quite a deal when someone moves from unchurched to a place where they're growing spiritually. Like, that's awesome. But I'm not finished. I want to inspire you to move past that. I want to inspire you to move to where you're connected to the community, where you are in small groups, you're on serve teams, and you're doing life together. And we want to help you get connected in our community. And then once you're connected, it's the bullseye. It's the, you know, wow, we've reached our spot. The core is where you've learned your purpose. You're living your purpose. You're part of the group of people in our church who have walked out the process to get here, and you're living out, you know, those that are small group leaders and those who are ministry team leaders and those who are prayer team leaders and those who are partnered with Celebrate Recovery and leading there, and all the people that build the church through their gifts and talents. And we want to inspire you to get there. And that's our goal. Amen? Hey, look at this one thought. As the core grows stronger, the church will grow stronger. And so I'm not trying to just build a big church. I want to build a strong church, a healthy church. And that's what we're doing. So today, I want to take us to our sermon today. And it's on grow. This is the third step of the process. And last week, we talked about worship. Today, I want to talk about grow. And my sermon title today is Created to Become Like Christ. In your DNA is to become more like Christ. Now, I don't mean you're going to be, you know, a god. I'm not worshiping you, and nobody else is either. You're not that good. But we are to become more like Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, out of the Living Bible, it says, from the very beginning, God decided that those who came to him, and it says he knew all along who it'd be because he's God, but it says God decided that those who came to him should become like his son. That's God's plan for you. That's God's plan for our life, that we would become more like his son. We were created to be like Jesus, like Christ. So let me ask you a question as we're kind of getting started with this message. Hey, do you have a plan for becoming more like Christ? That's a pretty simple question, but probably few people actually have a plan on how they're going to become more like Christ. I mean, it's easy to understand. You would understand that if you wanted to become a better musician, well, you'd have to come up with a plan to practice and become a better musician. If you wanted to be a better athlete, you'd have to come up with a plan to practice. If you wanted to have a better business, you'd have to come up with a business plan to know how to build that business and make it better. And so we need a plan. Without a plan, then we won't reach, you know, this goal of becoming more like Christ. We need a plan. There was an illustration I want to share with you about how I didn't have a plan, and I was frustrated that I wasn't seeing results. And so let me take you back about 15 years ago, and I'm going to give you a little TMI. You know what that is? Too much information. But I remember getting out of the shower and looking in the mirror and going, I looked at myself and thought, you need to lose a little weight. You need to get a little healthier. I looked at myself. Now listen, I'm a positive person. I just thought, you have more potential than what you're showing. So I didn't have a plan. So what I did is I exercised for like a week. And then I quit. And I continued to eat banana pudding because some of you ladies would bring it to me all the time, and my obligation was to eat it. Hey, and by the way, I ate a lot of ice cream today, National Ice Cream Day. So don't miss that. That's why you came to church, to find out the important information. National Ice Cream Day. I had National Ice Cream years. So every day was National Ice Cream Day. And so what happened was, every year I gained like 2 pounds. you keep doing that. And I remember looking in the mirror and going, wow, why is it working? So then I'd work out a little bit and quit. It was like a yo-yo in life. And I was frustrated, but really I didn't have anything to be frustrated at because I didn't do anything. I didn't have a plan to change until about 4 years ago when I came up with a plan to change. But here's where I was with my health. And I'm going to give you the definition of stupidity. All right? Now, I'm talking about myself. This is not you. But my definition of stupidity in my situation was doing very little effort and expecting a lot of change. Failure to plan is planning to fail. And so whether it's weight loss, building a business, or becoming more like Christ, we need a plan. And I think we approach our spiritual growth kind of the same way I approached getting healthy. We go in little spurts and we quit, little spurts and we quit. And what happens is we think somehow like we should be getting stronger. And you're like, how come when I pray, I don't see miracles? How come I don't have strong faith when crisis comes? And it's probably because you have experienced spiritual growth the way I was experiencing health, and you really didn't have a plan to stick it out and make it work. That's a bad plan. That plan doesn't work. Here's what 2 Peter chapter 3:18 says. It says, you must grow. Everybody say, must grow. You must grow. It's like, shouldn't be optional, but you must grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. God wants you and he wants me to grow up. And sadly, there are millions of Christians who are growing older, but they're not spiritually growing up. Time passes. You're going to get older. You don't have to work at that. But are you getting better in your walk with God? Spiritual growth is not automatic. It takes a plan. It takes commitment. You must want to grow. You must decide to grow. You must make an effort to grow. You must persist on growing. Like, you've got to decide, am I really going to grow? Am I going to make this part of my life that I grow and become more like Christ? The process of growth takes commitment. So listen, nothing shapes our life more than the commitments we choose to make. Let me put it like this. Look at this on the screen. Your commitments can develop you or they can destroy you. But either way, they will define you. Thank you. Your commitments, whether you make good ones or bad ones, it's up to you, and they will define your outcome. After you begin a relationship with Jesus, your first commitment should be to find a local church where you can worship. Now, I recommend the one that meets at the First Baptist Church Activity Center. I'm really fond of that church. I think they do a great job. I've heard great things about them, and I would recommend when you give your life to Christ, you find that church that's right here. So your first commitment is to worship. Next, and equally important, to be a successful Christian and build a strong foundation is in your spiritual growth, is having a daily quiet time with God. That's the secret sauce right there. That's where spiritual growth happens, right there in your daily quiet time with God. Daily quiet time is my lifeline to the living God. That's where I meet him. I get to know him. He invites us into a relationship with him. And in my quiet time, I grow my intimacy with my Savior. In our quiet time is where God refuels our life. How many of you have one of those cars that tells you how many miles until empty on your car? You have one of those cars, and so when you're driving, and it'll tell you have 32 miles before you're out of gas. How many of you have ever discovered that once it reaches zero, you have about 12 more miles? Have you ever discovered that? Now, the reason you have about 12 more miles is because you drove it 13 miles. right? And you know what happens when you go just a little too far? You get stranded on the side of the road. And so here's my thought, though, when it comes to refueling our spiritual life, is I think too many people are running on empty. Matter of fact, I think too many people are actually in their spiritual life between zero and being stranded on the side of the road. And you're risking it and you're wondering along the way when you have little breakdowns, you don't have a way to get back on the road again. It's because you're running on empty all the time. When I am in my car and my car says zero, I start stressing. I start panicking. If I'm on Highway 74 and there's not a gas station till you get right out, you know, to the Sunco out there, you know what I'm talking about, but you're 20 miles back, you have no options. I'm freaking out at zero at that point. We, in our spirit life, when we're at zero, man, that's why you're stressful. So a quiet time is an activity that takes place at a certain time, a certain place, on a daily basis, to read our Bibles, pray, and seek God. It's a certain time, certain place. The Bible says in Matthew 6:6, when you pray, go into your room and close the door. Now, what Jesus is talking about here is when you're gonna spend time with God in our, you know, culture, what that means is you're gonna close out the distractions. You're gonna turn off the TVs, you're gonna turn off Facebook and social media, and you're going to take some time. You're going to close out the things that keep you from taking 15 to 20 minutes and saying, God, I want to focus on you. I want to hear from you. I want to talk to you. I want to read my Bible. And we have to set aside time. We have to go to a room, go to a spot. Maybe if you're a mom and you have young kids, maybe your time is when you put your children for their nap and you go, this is my 15 minutes. Make your time. Go into your room. Now it says here, when you go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. In secret, he will reward you. The secret to a rewarded and blessed life is a daily quiet time with God. That's the secret to it all. There are two times that you need to spend time with God, connect with God. Two times. A daily quiet time, and a continually all the time. Like, I need God all the time. Those are the two times you need to connect with God. A set aside, certain specific time, but also all the time. I want to read you a verse. You can put it on the screen for me. Listen, if you're ever wanting to memorize scripture, listen, I want you to go to your buddies this week and go, our church is so deep, we memorize scripture today. Like, we are a Bible church, we memorize scripture. That's the whole verse. Pray continually. You got it? Like, we should have a continual conversation with God all day long. We need both a specific time where we seek God, a quiet time, and we also need this continual awareness of God's presence and his voice and his guidance all day long. We need them both. A quiet time and a continual time, they work together. They need each other because our personal quiet time with the Lord refreshes and it empowers us to walk in the Spirit the rest of the day. After spending time in God's presence in a quiet time, you'll notice a new sensitivity to God in your daily activities. And don't mistake one for the other. I've talked to people, you know, How's your walk with God? How's your time with the Lord? I pray all the time. Awesome. Do you have a quiet time? Oh, I'm too busy. I would almost question how good your all the time conversation is with God if you don't have a strong quiet time with God. Thank you. So, with that said, we need a commitment to a daily quiet time with God. I want to take just the last few minutes of my message here today and talk to you about why you need a quiet time with God. I'm not going to tell you how. When you take the class this fall on Grow, then we'll teach you how. Today, I just want to motivate you to want to do it. And so here are three reasons why you should spend time with God, and one is devotion. We spend time with God because He loved us. He has demonstrated His love towards us. I spend time with God because He has saved me, set me free, changed my life, and I am devoted to Him. I am loyal to Him. I want to give back to Him. I want to build my relationship with Him. The Bible says in 1 John 4:10, it says, "This is love. Not that we loved God, but He loved us and sent His Son as atoning sacrifice for our sins." And so what this is saying is that before I loved Him, He loved me. While I was still a knucklehead, He sent His Son to die for my sins. While I was still lost and desperate and had no hope, He sent His Son to love me and change my life. He made the first move towards us. And because of that, I received that and He changed my life. And I want to give back. I want to be devoted to the one who has changed my life. We're devoted to God because He changed our life. Amen. Second is daily strength. We need daily strength from God. Now, I'm getting ready to read a verse to you that's so depressing. Awesome. You're going to love this. It's truth, though, but I'm just warning you up front. You're not going to love this verse. So let's read it. "Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Have you ever experienced each day having challenges of its own and you don't need to worry about tomorrow? The problems will be there tomorrow. You might as well sit in today and figure today's out. Each day has its challenges. Here's what I think. Because we face new challenges every day, we can't depend on yesterday's encounter with God for today's strength. We need strength for the new challenges. And every day when we spend time with God, He prepares us for anything and everything that might come our way. Jesus, when He was teaching His disciples about prayer and about our relationship with our Heavenly Father, and He taught us how to pray, and He said in Matthew 6:11, He said, "Give us today our daily bread." He was not talking about delicious breadsticks from Olive Garden. The Bible teaches us that Jesus is the bread of life. And therefore, He's talking about that when we spend time with Him daily, He nourishes us daily. We need Him daily, every day, for every challenge. We need strength that comes only from Him. And the third reason why you want to have a daily quiet time with God, back to those rewards. The Bible said that in the secret, He rewards us. He's actually making a point in the context of that verse that is saying that when you publicly make a show of your Christianity and your time with God, and that when people see that, that people are going to pat you on the back and say, "Good job." And the Bible says, well, that's all the reward you're going to get. But when you are committed and dedicated to a relationship with God and you get in the secret place and it's just you and God and nobody knows, your husband doesn't know that you're doing it, your wife doesn't know that you're doing it, your kids don't know. It's not about who knows. It's about you coming devoted to God. When you do that, He says, "I will reward you. You don't need the people to reward you." Right? So here's what I believe. I believe there's a reward of this fresh and vibrant, healthy spiritual life when we're connected to Him. Our life is it like He impacts everything. It nourishes our, you know, our physical life, our mind, our emotions, and everything is moved when we are deeply connected to God. And that's the benefit. It freshly just like touches every part of your life. There was a season in my life where I got disconnected from God, and like it weighed me down. It aged me. And so I happen to have a picture from when I was disconnected from God. And this is what happened. All right, so for some of you have no idea what you're looking at. There's this stupid thing on social media right now that you take your picture and it'll age you about 20 years. That's me in 20 years. Or that's me when I don't spend time with God, and it ages me. all know that humor is rough around here. Let me take us to something serious as I land the plane. The reward is the foundation of a closeness with God to build your life on. The reward is God answering our prayers, hearing us, and meeting our needs. The reward of a daily quiet time is being able to live out our destiny, our purpose that God has for us. The reward of being, you know, close to God and spending time with Him is that His presence and His favor go with us all the time. The reward is that the Holy Spirit guides us and protects us and comforts us through all and all. The reward is knowing God and just knowing that I'm close to Him. That's a reward. The reward is becoming more like Christ. Amen. Amen. A couple weeks ago, I went to my hometown, my dad's 80th birthday, and it was such an honoring time to see his family all gathered around my dad, kind of like a family reunion with friends, and celebrating his 80th birthday and just honoring him. I took a moment when I was thinking about closeness with a father, and I remembered my dad who, when he was a boy, his mom took him to foster care homes, and she demonstrated through her actions that she couldn't care for him, didn't want to care for him. And so he grew up in a foster care home. He didn't ever know his dad personally. Later in life, I remember my dad had an opportunity to go to Oklahoma to meet his real dad. And I remember him telling me it was important for him to try to connect there. I was thinking about that in light of all these people that were gathered around honoring him out of a real close relationship. And what my dad did is he turned that from where he saw how it was to not be close. And he invested his time into his family so that we could all be close. And now as he's 80, we stand and honor him for that. And I think that the Heavenly Father looks at his children and he's already invested in us. He has poured out the sacrifice of Jesus so that we can be close to him. And I want to encourage you to take today and go, I want to honor God back by building a relationship with Him. Let me pray for you. Father, thanks for this day. God, I pray that as a church, we would have a new passion to spend time with You, to grow that relationship. And maybe in this moment here, God, would we reflect on this thought, a couple thoughts like, what is my commitment to spiritual growth? Would you just kind of ponder that? Maybe it's, what is my plan to become more like Christ? In this moment, would you just make a commitment to have a daily quiet time with God? Maybe it's 10 minutes, 20 minutes. Just a fresh renewal, saying, God, I'm going to commit to spending time with You. And Father, if there are people here that have never met Jesus as their Savior, if you've never begun that relationship, I want to just offer this moment for you to have all your sins forgiven and to begin a relationship with the Heavenly Father through Jesus. And so would you do me a favor? Just heads are bowed. If you're here today and you're like, Pastor Tim, today I want all my sins forgiven and I want to begin a relationship with Jesus. If you're here and that's you, would you just raise your hand to me? I'd just love to just, me and you, just recognize you. I see your hands. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Let's just pray this out loud together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Jesus, who died for my sins and rose again. I receive forgiveness of every sin in my life. I ask You, fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live for You. In Jesus' name, amen, church. Amen. God bless.